Guys, go ahead and turn there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Excuse me. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. There is no one like you. You are everything to us, Lord God. Thank you for your anointed presence, Lord God. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so that you are everything in our lives, Lord God, that we hunger and thirst for you, that by the end of this service, we will realize that you are everything we need, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to repentance, however that may look or see or whatever you desire to do in our lives. Just bring us to that place that you want us to be so we can be all that you've asked us to be. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. So today, we don't have the slides, but that's all right, ain't it? Have to go old school. Have to go turning the pages in the old good book, right? Nothing wrong with that. We need the practice. Excuse me. We want to talk about a closer walk this morning, a deeper relationship, a deeper intimacy with the Lord God than we've ever had before. Amen. Now, this is we've touched on this subject before in previous years. It's kind of something that I like to talk about at the beginning of the year. You know, it's a brand new year. Let's get excited about the Lord. Let's go all in, you know. But this is what we want to talk about today. Well, how about we end the year sold out and devoted to the Most High God? Amen. This thing is coming to an end real fast. And we need to get excited about the Lord. We need to go all in. I'm not saying anybody in here is backslidden. I'm not saying anybody in here is not a Christian person. That's not my call to make. The Lord says in Scripture, we got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So hopefully we are saved people. If not, we can address that. We can deal with that. And let's take care of that before you leave this morning. Amen. But what we're talking about today is going all in. Raise your hands if you're all about a deeper, closer, intimate walk with the Lord. Okay, so here's the deal, man. This is so true. Okay, you're only as close to the Lord as you want to be. That's the truth of the matter. Me and Sister Claudia, we were doing something. We were preparing something during the week, a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about that. And that's the situation, is the Lord wants a deep, intimate relationship with you. He wants more than sometimes what we're willing to give him. Amen? Well, you're as close to him. I want you to think about that. You're as close to him as you want to be. So hopefully, when we leave here today, or by the time we leave here today, we're ready to go all the way in. We want more of him and less of ourselves. Amen? It's not about us, is it? I'm going to go ahead and say this, too. You know how you're talking with people about you're a Christian, you know, and people say, well, okay, let me say it like this. Let me just start over. Can I start over? We cool? Okay, redo. We say Christianity is not a religion, and we're right. It shouldn't be a religion, but what is it? It is a relationship. It's a relationship with the Most High God. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Okay? Now, every single relationship takes hard work. So we're in a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And that's amazing right there that the Creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. You know what I mean? But he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to really, he knows everything about you. He knows what you think about. He knows what you did last summer. That's a movie. I'm not saying see it. I haven't seen it. I don't know if that's a good movie, bad movie, whatever. But he knows everything about us. And see, that's part of the beauty of it, is he still wants a relationship with us. He still wants to hang out with us. Amen? But we got to get to that place where we're willing to work on that relationship. All relationships take hard work. We got to persevere. Amen. It's got to be a priority. Amen. And, you know, think about those of us that are married, or if you're not married, think about your best friend, whatever. Think about that most important human relationship that you have. It takes hard work to strengthen that relationship. You know what I mean? There's forgiveness. There's all these things involved. See, the Lord doesn't want to be on our back burner. He wants to be the most important thing in our life. You know, when I first started seeing her, I was just awestruck. And I still am. She's beautiful. But I didn't want to be away from her. She was the first girlfriend I had that I was like, man, I was just all about Rachel Jean. You know what I mean? And I wanted to be everywhere she was. And I remember, it was funny because, you know, I was doing my studying last night. And my mind got to wonder. I was like, man, I sure would like to be home right now with my kids and Rachel. And so I start thinking about Rachel. And I naturally drift back to the time when we first started dating. And my buddies would tease me because, you know, I was this guy that was like, I would tease them about, you know, always wanting to be around their girlfriend and stuff like that. I'm like, man, there's more important things to life than having a girlfriend. You know, we got to go do stupid stuff, you know. And that was the type of dude I was until Rachel Jean came along. And then I was that guy. And everybody started teasing me, you know. But we were like inseparable, you know. I remember the time that I was talking to her and she's like, I got to go get my oil changed today. And I was like, ooh, can I go? Can I go? Can I go? I want to go. Oh, I just wanted to be where she was at, you know. And it didn't matter what we did. I was just with Rachel Jean, and that's where I wanted to be, you know. And that is my most important human relationship. And I thank God for Rachel. Believe me, I mean that. But see, we have another relationship. There's a more important relationship than our mate. Does that make sense this morning? The creator of the universe wants to have a deep, deep, intimate relationship with us. Amen? And over time, me and Rachel Jean, we have to work double hard to stay close and connected. And sometimes we fall short. Sometimes it's more me. Sometimes it's more her. But because we're doing life together, sometimes life gets in the way. You know what I mean? We're working. We got the kids and all this. We got to work really, really hard to give each other that time that we deserve. And we come up short all the time. You guys are smart. You're bright. You know where I'm going with this. That's a human relationship. And that is my most valuable human relationship. But see, what about our relationship with the Most High God? Think about that when more than likely, if you're like me, you went through some sort of catastrophe, some sort of problem, the Lord allowed something to come into your life, so we run into the arms of the Lord, right? And we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We come to that place, we're like, man, this ain't working. I gotta have you. And then it's like that beginning of that awesome relationship where he's so important. We just want to be around him all the time, right? We're telling everybody about him. We're excited about him, just like me and Rachel Jean. And see, he's not the one, think about this, he's not the one that stepped away from us. I'm not saying anybody's not saved or we're backslidden or you ain't good Christian folk. That's not my call. But I can tell you that my relationship with the Lord does suffer. It really does. I let things come in between me and my Lord all the time. So over time, because of sin, because of all kinds of stuff, there's not that intimacy that the Lord wants me to have with him. Amen. And he really desires us to be all in and just want more of him and less of ourselves. Amen. I believe that's a super important thing for us Christians. Raise your hand if you agree. So we're saved folk. We love Jesus. We got our ticket to ride. We're going to heaven. That's great. But the Lord wants to use us here. Right? And he wants us to grow in relationship. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to, I've already told you this, and you guys know me for a while, a couple years now. Lord, what am I saying? A lot of you guys have known me for like 40 years, 30 years. I like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is one of these guys that you can read in the Bible. I'm not talking about when he was Saul. But you can take the Apostle Paul and model your life after what he does. And you'll be blessed every time. And what I mean by that is you can read about Samson, and you can like Samson, and there's some good stuff you can pull from Samson's life, but not necessarily is it going to be productive for you to model your life after Samson. You know what I mean? The Apostle Paul, he's somebody we can follow. He's somebody we can learn from. Amen. Matter of fact, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, those of you that doubt me, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul says. He's talking to the Corinthian church right now. And he says, hey, you can follow me and you can follow these letters that I'm giving you because rest assured, I'm going to be following Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's us. Okay? We can follow what the Apostle Paul says because he's following Jesus. The big thing is that we follow Jesus. Amen. But the point I'm trying to say is we're going to read a little bit about what Paul went through and let it feed us this morning. Amen. Because the Apostle Paul, he wasn't satisfied with his relationship with the Lord. Did you guys know that? And the Apostle Paul, if you've read about him, he was not your average Christian person. Yeah. He was all in. He was sold out, but he realized, I need more. I want more. Matter of fact, the more you get into the Word, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you sell out into your relationship with the Lord, the more you're going to realize that this is what it's all about. This is everything. Amen? Okay, so anyways, Philippians 3 and verse 8. Check this out. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He says, I just want to know God. I just want to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. And the Apostle Paul, he accomplished a lot before he was the Apostle Paul. He did a lot. And he said, everything in my past, he calls it rubbish. He calls it rubbish. It's doo-doo. That's what he says, man. That's what he says. Everything I did, everything I accomplished, everything I accumulated, my education, compared to the Lord and knowing him, it's all dookie. That's what he's saying, man. Okay, that's funny. I get it. And I was Brian? Yeah, Brian's here. Me and Brian, we went over this verse years ago, a few years ago. And I was reading this last night, and I thought about you, man. I was like, oh, I hope he's here today, because I'm going to say that. Okay, so anyways, he says, I just want to know the Lord. Now, listen, it doesn't mean just know about him, because we do need to know about him. But this is talking about a relationship, and a growing relationship. Amen? You see what I'm saying? You can go to Graceland. Anybody ever went to Graceland? Rachel, Dwayne, did y'all go to? Never mind. We need to talk, Dwayne. No. You can go to Graceland, and I'm going. I hope to go. I want to go. I hear it's not as awesome as you might think it is, but I'm thinking I'll enjoy it. But anyways, we can talk about that later. You can go to those places. You can read the books about Elvis. You can even get your little outfit on eBay that makes you look like Elvis. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing because I kind of sort of want one of those. You know, the big collars and the, you know. Yeah. I'm digging on some Elvis right now. It's in my car right now. Hey, gospel Elvis was anointed. But hunk of burn, never mind. Oh. Listen. I ain't going to know Elvis. Maybe in heaven I'll get to know Elvis. I'll look him up. I like him. I'm a fan. Maybe he'll look me up. Who knows? But what I'm saying is I ain't going to know Elvis. You, chances are, unless you know something I don't know, you ain't never told me, you don't know Elvis. You can read all kinds of books about Elvis, but you ain't going to know Elvis. Okay. But the Apostle Paul's talking about knowing, not just knowing about. Because you can read the books and you can know about Elvis. You're like, hey, he likes fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Or isn't that what he likes? Peanut butter? You can know things about him, but you don't know Elvis. But see, the Lord, sovereign God, creator of the universe, says you can know me deeper than you know me now. And I want that. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. I just want more and more of him. I want to know him. Everything about him. I want to be all in. Amen. Can that be our cry this morning? And I believe we mean that. I believe we mean that. But let's not drop the ball. Amen? Because anyways, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Another one, that's our New Testament example. What about Moses in the Old Testament? Nobody had a relationship with the Lord God like Moses did. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, if we read in the Old Testament, we remember that time where Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister, started talking bad about Moses? And really, they said, the scripture says it was because that Moses had married a Cushite, or he had married a woman that was a different color than him, right? And so somebody could read that and be like, maybe God isn't down with people marrying people that are different skin colors than them. But the more you examine that, you see that that was just a little surface issue. Matt, let me just say this, lest I forget. God does not care what skin color of the person is you love. He could care less about that. Now, the world might look down on you, but, whatever. We're Christians. All that stuff about intermarrying, that was about religious stuff. That was don't go marry somebody that's going to worship false idols. Don't bring that mess over here. Okay? Because Moses, who had an awesome relationship with the Lord, did marry a woman that was a different color than him. And Aaron and Miriam said they had a problem with it. But God never said he did. You know what I mean? And God didn't hold back nothing. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, whatever, rabbit trail. All God's people said, that's a rabbit trail. Yeah, you're right. But what did they get in trouble for, really? They were jealous. And because what did they say? They said, don't God use us too, Miriam? Don't he use us? He talks through me too, right? Moses was walking around big and bad. I could part the Red Sea. Ain't nothing big. And God shows up. God calls him out on it, man. Calls him out on it. And what does he say? He said, yeah, I talk through my prophets. That is true. But nobody has a relationship with me like my servant Moses. Amen. So I said all that to say that Moses had an amazing relationship with the Lord. Matter of fact, he was up on that mountain for like 40 days, right? And then he says this right here, talking about some awesome time with the creator of the universe. This is what he says, 33 and 18 of Exodus. Please show me your glory. Please, God, show me your glory. Show me more. I want to know you more. Now, both these guys had an amazing relationship. See, the deeper you get in this thing, the more you want. This is more than addiction. This is a good thing. And God is more than happy to oblige. And we need to get to that place. Amen? Where we really are. God, I just want more of you. I want more of you. Amen? So are you still in Philippians 3? I'm feeling a mite parched this morning. Would somebody go fetch one of these for me? Thank you, Sister Rachel. Everyone give Sister Rachel a hand. Oh, God is good. Oh, Philippians 3 and verse 7. Let's look at this again. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. So let's talk about that again for a second. Apostle Paul, he accomplished a lot. He accumulated a good deal of things, man. His resume was amazing because in that same passage, in that same chapter, he goes over all his accomplishments. You know, and he's like, that's nothing. That's nothing. I just want Jesus. I just want more and more of Jesus. So, but if we're not careful, we can be the exact opposite of the Apostle Paul and say, thank you, Sister Rachel. We can say, let me take care of this stuff. Let me accumulate everything that I have on my little list. Then I can be that sold out person. Because I want to be that person. I really, really do. But I really got to finish this stuff first. Does that make sense this morning? Because there's people like that, saved people. I'm talking about saved folks this morning. They're like, well, right now I'm content with my relationship with the Lord. We should not be content with our relationship with the Lord. We're to be content in all things but that. We want to grow in that relationship. Does that make sense this morning? We can be like, just let me knock these things out right here, and then I'm going all in. That's like the unbeliever or the sinner who says, let me get all my ducks in a row. Let me get my life together. Then I will serve you. Then I will start coming to church. We all know that's a pipe dream. We all know that's not going to happen. You're not going to get it together until you kneel at the foot of the cross, until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But us as Christians, we can come up short of that place where the Lord wants us because we're like, I gotta focus on the big house. I gotta pay for the big house. I gotta have the sports car. Now, when I get this taken care of, you know, or when my 401k is where it needs to be, then me and you're gonna really hang out hardcore. Maybe I'll even be a missionary for you. Well, here's the thing, man. We gotta sell out to the Lord, and then once we go all in, then we'll totally be open to go and do whatever He wants us to do. Amen. Or maybe we're caught up in all sorts of other things, like, hey, my needs, man. I need my needs met. You know, I'm sitting here in church, and my kids ain't dressed as good as so and so's kids are dressed. Listen, we just got to go all into the Most High God. Amen. Does that make sense this morning? Let me read this to you. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Because the Lord knows that we have needs, but we can't have these needs control us. Amen. And the Lord wants to give us good things. Amen. But we can't let these good things have us. You know what I mean? We can't let them control our lives. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord knows what we need. Talking about needs now, He knows what we need. Amen. And you may be in a situation where you're working two jobs, three jobs, and something like that. And that can frustrate you, and you get mad, like, God, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. Oh, so-and-so across the way, they only got one job. It looks to me like you're playing favorites, Jesus. Now, the Lord doesn't play favorites. Y'all know what I'm saying? But sometimes we play favorites. Sometimes we put things before our relationship with the Lord. So He may allow you to be in a situation where you have to work two and three jobs. That might be the place where He needs you to be right now. You know what I'm saying? So you get to that place where you're like, God, I just need you. I just need more of you. You are everything. Does that make sense this morning? He really is everything in our life. Amen? And we might be in a situation where you have to work really, really hard for a really, really long time. You know what I mean? That's just part of being alive. Amen? The point I'm trying to make is sometimes we have needs, and we can focus and get frustrated on the fact that it don't look like my needs are getting met like everybody else's needs are getting met. You know? It does not matter. You put God first, and He says He'll meet your needs. Does that make sense? Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that's in that group of scriptures where the Lord says, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Now, I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying don't plan ahead. And I'm not saying it's a sin to have a nice house or a nice car. I'm not saying it's a sin to have a 401k or cool hobbies or go to the movies or none of that stuff. Don't let these things be roadblocks between you and a deeper relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord just says, hey, you put me first. You hunger and thirst for me, and I'll meet your needs. I'll give you what you need. So we don't have to lose any sleep. Listen, we don't have to lose any sleep about how my bills are going to get paid. That doesn't mean quit your job. I ain't saying that. But when you're coming up short, our God does the impossible. We don't have to be full of fear about none of this stuff. Give it to Him. Sell out to Him, and He's going to make up that difference. Amen. So those are a couple ways, man, we fall short of going all the way into the Lord. We're like, man, I want to, but I got to do this first. Or I want to, but I got to do this first. No. The Lord is the most important thing. Amen. Go to John 6 real fast. John 6. Thank you, Jesus. Matter of fact, go to John 6, verse 66. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and letter to the Romans. It's still stuck in my head, Sister Dana. That's how I learned it. John 6 and verse 66. Okay, after this, many of his disciples turned back. Let me set this up a little bit. Jesus was ministering, and he had a humongous crowd of folks following him. Everywhere he went, just masses of people. But see, a lot of these folks were following for the bennies, the benefits. You know, I wonder what Jesus is going to do today. I wonder what miracles I can see today. This was exciting. But see, when they realize, hey, I could die for this, or this is a serious thing. The Lord requires something of me. You know what I mean? The crowd started to thin out. And the closer he got to Jerusalem, the place where he was going to lay down his life, the crowds got thinner and thinner and thinner. Okay? So Jesus turns to his disciples and says this. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So the crowds really start thinning out. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Simon's pretty cool, man. Impulsive, yeah. But I really like Simon because I can see a little Simon in all of us. Maybe just me. I don't know. But anyway, Simon's cool. He's a good guy. Holy Spirit Simon's awesome. Okay, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So Peter, speaking for the disciples, like, where are we going to go? We've been out in the world. We've had our fill of that, and the world really has nothing left for me. Because you are everything. Without you, I'm nothing. That's got to be the place where we get this morning, guys. Where we realize, hey, whatever I accomplish, whatever I accumulate, whatever my dreams may or may not be, whatever my needs are, whatever my wants, these things, they're not inherently bad things. But the Lord God is everything. And when I put him in the place where he's supposed to be in my life, and that's a process and that's a daily thing, you know what I mean? He's going to meet my needs. He's going to be able to use me the way he wants to use me because I'm going to be obedient to him. Amen? Makes sense? That's what you're here for, guys, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against having good stuff or working hard. We need to work hard. We're Americans, right? We want to work hard. All right. So what do I do? Well, you know what? We need to earnestly pray about this. This is really it. We really need to earnestly pray. And what I mean pray, because I think we all think it sounds good to go deeper, right? It sounds really good. I want to have that deep, more intimate relationship with the Lord. I would love to have an awesome time of intimacy and refreshing. I could really go for that right now. Okay? But do we really want to dig in? So let's pray, and let's begin to pray, and let's pray without ceasing that the Lord will give me the desire. The desire, because let's face it, the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. And it sounds great right now, and we'll go through ups and downs. But sometimes we can be like the dude that's like, maybe one day, but right now I got to do this. When he says, no, you can still do these things and work on these things. I just want to be everything to you. I want to be the center of your life. I want to share this life I created with you. Amen. I want us to grow in relationship. Amen. Are y'all with me? So listen, Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That's good, right? We need to pray. And we need to be vigilant, right? Watch and pray that we don't enter temptation. No more side roads. No more being sidetracked. No more putting things in prominence where the relationship with my Lord needs to be. Amen. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the place where we're at, man. We want it. But that flesh man wants stuff too, doesn't it? So I'm going to pray without ceasing. And I mean earnestly pray. God, we have to come to this place like Moses and the Apostle Paul and other people that realized you're everything. You're everything, and I need more of you. And once we get to that place, he'll fill in the gaps. He'll take care of the things that we need. Amen? So let's pray that the Lord gives us that desire. And we're not going to let that go. Amen? I talk about this probably every week. We really need to pray every single day. Every day. And read the scriptures every day. I know I say that a lot, you know, but that is so important, you know, to set some time aside and not just rush through it, because I've been guilty of that. Believe me, I've been guilty of that. That's a start. But really, kneeling before the Lord and say, God, we have not because we ask not, Lord, and I want to be in that place in my life where I just want you. I just want you. I want you to be everything to me. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, we got to beat that flesh man down because he wants stuff too. Amen. And he's going to get us in a mess. And we blame Satan for all kinds of stuff, and Satan's a knucklehead. And that's no denying that. See, a lot of times it's just our own flesh that gets us in trouble. It's just you going off and doing things, thinking about things you don't need to be doing. And Satan's like, why is everybody else picking on me? Now, he'll gladly take the credit. You know, he wants you to think he's big and bad. He ain't nothing. All knuckleheads, all he is. One day we're going to see that cat. I believe this. One day we're going to see Satan, and we're going to be like, what? You did all this? Well, all I had to do is do a little twisting, and just humanity did it for me. You know? All I had to do is whisper some things into your ears, and you were ready to go get into trouble. Yeah, man. Let's go do that together one day. In eternity, want to check that guy out. He ain't nothing. Everyone say he ain't nothing. Ephesians 1 and verse 16, talk about praying. Pray without ceasing. I want to have that desire. I want to have the strength to go all in, to be everything that you want me to be. I do not cease to give thanks for you. This is Ephesians 1 and verse 16, Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. So he's talking to these guys. Ephesians were pretty fired up about the Lord. This was no Corinthian church. Okay? So these are pretty hardcore Christian folks. But let's see what Paul's prayer is for these hardcore Christian folks. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers, praying. Verse 17, what do you pray for, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay. We can just say it like this. I pray that even though you're on fire for the Lord now, I pray that you go deeper, that you have everything that the Lord has for you. Why would he pray that? Because he loves these people. He's their pastor. He's their bishop. It's like, I just want you, like you, with your earthly children. I want you to have everything. I want you to have everything. I'm working hard to make sure that you get everything you need. So their spiritual father is saying, man, don't settle for second best. Don't just go to church every once in a while and get your little check mark and feel good about yourself. Grow in relationship. Get everything that the Lord has for you because he wants to use you. And he really, quite frankly, he wants you to enjoy him. Amen? So I'll say that again and everybody act excited. He wants you to enjoy him. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. Because he does. We're missing out. Like I said, I'm not saying you ain't saved, but I'm saying we're missing out on his blessings. We're missing out on that relationship. Remember I talked earlier about when I first met Rachel Jean. And, you know, I just wanted to be around her. Then life, kids, all this stuff comes along. And I still love her just the same. But you have to work really, really hard. Work really, really hard so these things don't get in the way, so you can enjoy that relationship and keep it healthy and strengthen it. Amen? Amen. Same thing with our Lord. Amen? Except we have to take the first step. You know, as opposed to when you're talking about your mate, where you sit back and like, I ain't doing nothing. She's going first. This time, Rachel Jean's going to say she's sorry. Because Jesus knows it ain't fair. I always have to say I'm sorry. And she's my wife. And you know how it is. But see, and we know that's a whole nother sermon right there. You know you guys are bright. I don't have to get into that. It's your job, whoever you are, you say you're sorry, right? Okay, enough of that. But the Lord has it like this. You're the one that started scooting over. Not him. You know what I mean? He's been right there wanting you to enjoy him. Amen? But we're the ones that have let things come in between us. And you can go back and forth about your mate or your best friend, who blew it, who dropped the ball. But let's be honest, when we're talking about you and the Lord, you're the one that dropped the ball. You're the reason why the relationship ain't how it could be. Amen? So everyone say, it's my fault. Amen. So yeah, we let all types of things come in between us. Anyways, Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. We have to make that first move. Amen. You will seek me and find me. Talking about God. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you're serious about going deeper, you just come on because I'm ready. You know what I mean? When you want me, when you want everything I got for you, you just come a running. Amen. When I see you're serious, I'm ready. I'm waiting on you. James 4 and verse 8. I like this one. Well, I like them all. But James 4, 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So, yeah, we're in that place sometimes. Well, all of us can get closer to that fire. All of us can get closer and deeper to that relationship. And let's face it. When you take a step towards him, he's not doing this number. He's not going like stepping back from, come on, just a little bit closer. He's not playing again. He's not walking away from you. When he sees you're serious and you step into it, you're really taking two steps because he's coming at you too. He's ready. He's like, man, I've been waiting for this. Now we can go to the next level. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now listen to this part. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Can I say that to you guys? Can I just cleanse your... See, I can't even want to be like one of those... Okay, anyways, we all got things we need to work on. But listen, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's us. That's us. Let's face it. We kind of have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We do, right? I'm not saying, oh, of course, we live in the world, but we conform to the world when we really don't need to be conforming to the world, right? We're supposed to conform to the image of our Lord. Amen? So this is another thing that hurts that intimacy, that hurts that deeper walk with the Lord. Amen? We have all these things. You know, we can talk about what we've accumulated and how we prioritize those things. Or we can look at our needs and say, God, you know, when I start getting everything I need, then I'm going all in. Or we can just look at it like this. This is a big one, too. There's things in our life that are hindering us from going deeper with our Lord. Right? Or is that just me? Am I just talking about myself? Because I am, man. There's things that we all need to give up. Amen. Everybody's got different things. But we can hurt the depth that the Lord wants us to go by just simply refusing to not give up what we ain't got no business messing with in the first place. You know what I mean? He says, the day you seek me with your whole heart, when you draw near to me, here we are. But we're too busy like a little toddler in the corner playing with the rattlesnake that don't no one know we got. You know what I mean? My daughter did that, by the way. Sarah, when she was little, she come walking in the house with a little pygmy rattlesnake. You know? And Rachel Jean, my nephew Jordan was living with us at the time, and Rachel said, hey, get that out of Sarah's hand. And Jordan walked over there and was like, I can't. And Rachel's like, what do you mean you can't get that? And Rachel saw it, and it was a snake. And she's like, no! Woo! Well, see, that's us, you know. And everything's fine. Sarah's fine. Jordan's fine. Yeah, the snake got killed. But that's us, man. We play with things we ain't got business playing with. Not realizing or not wanting to realize that the things I'm messing with is harmful to me. And the Lord says, let's get rid of all this. Put me first. I'll take care of your needs, and I'm going to bless you in ways you can't imagine. Because, listen, here's the deal. You'll never be satisfied. This is true. And let's just face it right now. You're never going to be satisfied until we go all in. You know what I mean? You keep chasing the promotion. You keep saying, well, if you just send me a girlfriend, then I can go all in. Or God, if I can just pay my bills on time, then I can go in. Like, listen, there's lessons in all that, but let's just say it like this right now for time's sake. You put God first. Put God first. Put him first. Amen. He'll take care of all that stuff. He'll give you what you need. Going around it the wrong way, you will never be satisfied. Because as much as I love Rachel Jean, she's not made to make me happy. Does that make sense? She will never be that person to me. Don't get me wrong. She's everything I need. But see, the Lord God has got to be in that place. Does that make sense? He satisfies me. Rachel Jean is my blessing. Rachel Jean is my blessing, and I'm her blessing. I don't mind saying that. I'm her blessing. Did I lose any of you guys? We got to prioritize, because your career, your fancy car, your fancy boat, are not having these things, or being jealous of the other people. Those things will never satisfy you. Chasing them, you think, once I get them, man, life will be perfect. Then me and you, Jesus, all the way. I'm going to take my sailboat that you're going to give me, and I'm going to sail to Haiti and preach. No, you're not. And I'm going to preach to those people in my boat. And I'm going to throw chicken dinners out to them and tell them how good God is. You ain't going to do that. That's why you ain't got that boat. Because the Lord knows you playing games. It's like, you wouldn't be in church no more sunny days, never. I got my boat. I'm on a boat. Thank you, Jesus. We got to prioritize, don't we? Are y'all with me? This is where we need to be. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We got to get to that place where we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because, I mean, talking about me, a lot of the times that sounds really good. You know, man, I want more of Jesus. And then you step out of here, you're on your way home, you start fighting with somebody or whatever, and that's in the back of your mind till next Sunday morning or the next time you open a Bible or whatever. You see what I'm saying? But we got to be at that place where we hunger. Well, how am I going to get that hunger? Man, we need to pray. And I mean really pray. And I mean stay in the scripture. Say, God, do this. I want this. I want this. Give me that desire. Because he says, hey, you step near to me, I'm coming to you. Amen. Does that make sense? Okay. Now that hunger, that's a powerful thing, man. Ain't nothing powerful like hunger. Hunger and thirst, man, those are like the two very, very important needs a person has. And you will go crazy if you don't have those things. Oh, and I heard you can die also. But, man, just in my own house, looking at my own kids, if you're late serving them dinner, man, they're ready to rip the cabinets off the wall. they go crazy. You know what I mean? Have y'all ever, are y'all those people? I know everybody's tired and everyone's getting hungry. Are you those people that get like belligerent when you don't eat on time? Kayla? Baby? I like to eat as well. But I know people in my life that just go nutso if they don't eat. Yeah. But see, okay, take that. Because let's realize that when you're super, super hungry, that's all you do think about, you know. And you're all about satisfying that need. That's why it's good for us to fast sometimes. You know what I mean? Let's put this flesh man down for a while, and let's feed this spirit man. Amen? So we can heighten that hunger for what the Lord wants us to have. Amen? And receive and enjoy that time with the Lord. Amen? So anyways, that's what the Lord wants from us, is to be super, super hungry for Him. Where we are just, that's what I'm on a mission for. Yes, I want a fancy house. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, I want food in the pantry. Yes, I want these things. And those aren't really bad things. But the most important thing is I want all that the Lord has for me. I want that deep walk with Him. Amen. It's like this, Psalms 42 and verse 1, our last verse. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. That's what the psalmist wants, and that's what we need to want. I just want everything that you have for me, Lord. I want you to be number one. I want to grow in you. Amen. God bless our veterans. We love you. Hey, Kayla. We love our veterans. Listen, Sister Ellen, man, that was super convicting right there. There's a lot of hurting people in this community. Please pray for these babies. Pray for them and let's do anything we can. And let us pray this week. And let us pray right now that the Lord will give me a desire to go deeper in Him. And that He will give me the strength to go deeper in Him. To where I'm not going to be led astray by my own flesh. Amen. But I want to be everything that He has for me. Father God, we love you and we praise you. You are wonderful. You are everything, Lord.